This is CliffCentral.com.
This is our house under pressure.
Oh. I'm having contractions.
Simple dance, yeah, you're a man.
Pressure.
I think. That was Queen with Under Pressure with David Bowie in there as well. So I told you I was going to tell you a Queen story, but first, the Freedom Versus. You know, we're always trying to get new and exciting shows here on Cliff Central because you need to know things. Can't just have your head in the jacaranda sand. So, today's new edition of the Freedom Versus, the team discusses freedom of religion. It is taken to be a foundational kind of freedom. What role, if any, should the state play when it comes to religion? And how, if at all, should religion...
You think you've already found your ideal hotel?
Shush you.
Very rude that one.
Straight in woman.
Very rude.
Sorry, what role, if any, should the state play when it comes to religion? And how, if at all, should religion be incorporated in schools? Gwen and Mark consider these questions by carefully examining the relationship between freedom and religion. Freedom Versus tonight, 6 p.m., right here on the Cliff Central lineup. Otherwise, find the podcast.
Sounds good.
So that song, Queen with David Bowie, Under Pressure.
Mm.
So basically back in the day, how these big super bands used to make songs is they would go off and they'd spend time in studios, probably still do this kind of stuff now. So Queen had this amazing studio they went to in like a Swiss ski village. And there was nothing really there. There was a studio, there was a pub, and obviously people used to go there for skiing thingies. And one day, David Bowie was in the area, and they decided that they were going to do a song. So after lots and lots of drinks, Freddie Mercury obviously knew all the guys. He was friends with most people in that whole scene back in those days. They were all doing the same drugs together, same parties, same everything. And they were always joking about the fact that, you know, maybe we should do a song. And they're like, yeah, it's a great idea. It's you, there's me, there's the band. David Bowie's a huge hit. Freddie Mercury is his own thing. So they got together and did that song, Under Pressure. But little did they know that David Bowie was a complete and utter control freak maniac.
Mm.
He turned it into a complete and utter nightmare for everybody. So Freddie was all about, you know, flamboyant, carefree, do whatever he wants kind of guy. But Bowie was just such a hard taskmaster about things. So the song came out brilliantly. But Under Pressure, ironically named, because he was putting the band under so much pressure to do things the way he wanted it. Because they just thought, you know, we can have this collaboration. It's us.
It's going to be fun.
Amazing. Bowie made it into like this absolute hellhole of a production.
Did they ever have any other collaboration aside from that one?
Not that I know of. I think after that, they were like, Dave, it's been real.
This is it.
That was fun.
You're just too hardcore, mate. Yeah. You're just too hardcore. So the reason I bring up the whole Queen thing is that, have you guys seen the show iRobot?
I've heard of it.
There's a show called iRobot. Wasn't there a movie called iRobot?
I think in the Will Smith movie.
Which is called what?
I think the series is called Robot.
Mr. Robot.
Yeah. Mr. Robot.
With the cute lead. His name starts with an M or something.
Okay.
Malik.
Rami.
Crawl your loins this, yeah? Oh. My intro isn't done yet. So the movie iRobot, correct, Will Smith. The show Mr. Robot,
yeah.
Which stars Rami Malek.
Yes. That's it.
Okay, so Rami Malek is a very individual-looking kind of person. You can't really confuse him with anyone else.
That is you just, like, stretching this trying to be nice thing. He looks very individual.
Well, he looks very... I agree with you, Ben.
It's not like, oh, you look like that guy, Rami Malek. He's never said that in the world, because it's only Rami Malek.
He doesn't look like anybody else in existence.
But he looks a little bit like Freddie Mercury. So, he is appearing in the Queen biopic.
As Freddie.
And people are saying that he's just absolutely nailing it. You know, Rami Malek is 36. He's old.
He has this boyish thing to him.
Very boyish.
He is old.
But that's the thing. Freddie Mercury also had that boyish thing about him. So this is it. But this biopic, I can tell you right now, is going to be a pile of shit. It's going to be an absolute massive anticlimax. Because you know why?
Why?
Brian May's a dick.
Brian May.
Okay, so Queen and the whole estate around everything is very guarded, okay? This very big image around Queen being squeaky clean and fantastic, and it was all about the music. Meanwhile, obviously Freddie Mercury died of AIDS. He did not know when to stop partying.
Mm-hmm.
Did a lot of drugs, did a lot of everything. Freddie just took life up every nostril he could.
I mean, orifice.
Every orifice. Every
well, whatever. Freddie took it in. Freddie mounted life, and he kept going like a Jack Russell at Christmas. This is the thing about it. He was larger than life. Sacha Baron Cohen, knowing this, wanted to approach this whole project, okay?
So is he directing the whole thing?
This is where the story falls apart. Sacha Baron Cohen was originally going to be the man who was going to bring Freddie Mercury's story to life.
Okay.
A story which we all need to see, because, I mean, it would be incredible. But, sadly, this is how things worked.
Here you were working on this biopic of Freddie Mercury and Queen. You worked on it for 6 years.
Yeah.
The whole thing fell apart. The band, Queen, wanted to clean it up, and you wanted to get into the nitty-gritty, right?
Yes.
What did the nitty-gritty mean? Like, you wanted to get into his sex life?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, there are amazing stories about Freddie Mercury. You know,
crazy.
The guy was wild. I mean, he was living an extreme lifestyle. That
debauchery.
I mean, there are stories of, you know, I don't know what you call them, that little people.
Little
people with, you know, plates with cocaine on their heads walking around partying. You know,
what a scene.
But you've got to remember, and I understand it. They are a band. They want to protect their legacy as a band. They want it to be about Queen, and I fully understand
So that. Why didn't you have that discussion with them up front?
My first meeting, I should have never carried on, because a member of the band, I won't say who, said...
Brian May.
I won't say who. Yeah. But he said, you know, this is such a great movie, because it's got such an amazing thing happens in the middle of the movie.
Uh-huh.
I go, well, what happens in the middle of the movie? He goes, you know, Freddie dies.
Middle of the movie.
I go, all right. So you mean it's a bit like Pulp Fiction, you know, the end is the middle and the middle is the end. That's a wild movie. That's interesting. I never thought about that. He goes, no. Normal movie. I go, so wait a minute, what happens in the second half of the movie? He said, well, you know, we see how the band carries on from strength to strength. And I said, listen, I go, not one person is going to see a movie the lead character dies from AIDS and then you carry on.
That would be just the craziest movie.
Guys, we've got to carry on.
Just wait till you see the movie I do about you, Howard.
So he wanted the real story, and as I said there, Brian May wants to cut it short. So now this biopic, which Rami Malek is going to be in, essentially it's going to end before he dies. So it's going to be all about Queen's amazing songs and performances, which obviously we all want to see, but it doesn't ever touch on his AIDS. It basically culminates in the big Live Aid performance, which was one of their most iconic and obviously last performances together as a band. So you won't see any of it, any of the little people with cocaine on their heads, which is what we want to see. You won't see any of these tempestuous love affairs he had around the world. You know, he also had a full-time girlfriend. This woman who lived in Germany, they had a flat together in Berlin.
I'm sorry, what?
And he had sex with a woman as well.
So he was bisexual?
Mostly gay, liked her. Also, he had this other long-term...
Liked her, or like a beard?
Yeah, that's like a cover-up. That is bisexual.
They were bonking and stuff, yeah.
No, then he was bisexual, guys.
Yeah, but he was like a 70-30 swaying 90-10.
If you have sex with men and a woman,
but
you
mind.
Are bisexual.
But Freddie Mercury's life was just so interesting in so many different ways. And Brian May once, you know, the band went from the strength to the strength. Brian, no one cares about you. You look like Kenny G... with a slightly more musical talent.
Okay, but can you imagine how difficult it is not being the star in a band? Because, you know, yes, the band was Queen, but really we all cared about Freddie Mercury.
Exactly.
Yes, the band was Destiny's Child, but we only really cared about Beyoncé. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but...
With the Bee Gees, with... like
when you're the lead singer.
I get it, but that is why it doesn't surprise me when the other band members feel... a little bit left out, because it must be difficult for them to see all the fans just throwing love and attention at the lead guy and then almost forgetting that these other idiots exist. But these other idiots are part of what makes the band sound so good.
Yeah. Well, I guess
it can't feel nice, is what I'm saying.
But it's the whole frontman mentality, right? Everybody gravitates towards the singer.
Yeah.
No matter what the band is. And I think for some bands, if you look at U2, I reckon Larry Mize or... The Edge or whatever, they like the fact that all attention goes on to Bono. They're getting the big money, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
But Bono has to then talk about kids in Somalia and crap like that, which obviously they don't care about. So I'd be like, okay, well, Bono will do that because he's the front man. Freddie did a lot of that. Musically, they were very across the board. They all wrote songs. Mm-hmm. None of them were Katy Perry's in this instance. They all wrote songs. They all had a say in what happened. They all had the hits. All the hits you hear from Queen was written by every single one of those people in the band. So it wasn't like the drummer was just scratching his nuts the whole time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was also contributing. Everyone was contributing. But where I was going with this is that the story has to be told, but Brian May and the Queen, everything, they will hold on to the secrets of Freddie's life. There's some great books written about him. But he had a long-time girlfriend in England called Mary, who eventually inherited pretty much everything.
I thought she was in Germany.
Germany.
Ben.
Yeah, hang on.
Oh.
Freddie rolled the dice. You think he had one of anything? He had a lot of everything. So he had this amazing house in London, which was like this amazing garden. And at the time, he had a live-in boyfriend who was literally with him when he died.
Mm.
And this live-in boyfriend wrote a book about Freddie's life, and everybody shunned him because he wrote the truth.
Mm.
The fact that Freddie pissed the bed before he died, because that's what happens before you, when you die.
Okay? You let go of your bowels.
So he wrote things like that, the real graphic truth around Freddie's life. And they were like, nobody wants to read this. This is, we don't endorse this book whatsoever. Mm-hmm. So they're always very guarded about the fact that Freddie was the showman. He was the amazing performer. Meanwhile, this guy's life was all over the place.
Mm.
It was incredible. So he had the long-time sort of wife on the side. There was no real sex attraction there, but she was always there. She inherited pretty much everything.
This is the one in England.
This one in England, right? Then you got the...
Wait, so she was his actual wife?
No.
No.
Girlfriend.
But it was that kind of relationship.
Okay.
And at the time, he would always have three or four guys living in the house with him.
Mm.
And she was cool with it, just like...
She went on with basically anything. Anything was there. She was like his rock, so to speak, but she didn't really... I mean, she was there.
I think there was an understanding between the two of them.
Exactly. And then there was...
They were just really close friends.
Yeah. Well, okay. There was that. There was understanding. Let's put
yes,
it that way.
Yes.
Then there was the girlfriend in Germany who, at the time, wanted to then go to Freddie's funeral, and she was banned from Freddie's funeral.
By who? Brian May?
This guy. Yeah, well, basically, Brian May, and there's always these powers that be behind these stars.
Yes.
And they said there'll only be one widow at the funeral, and that is Mary. So you... And then from there, then they want to reclaim all of so Queen's confusing. Assets, and
yeah.
Her and Freddie shared an apartment, as in they were joint owners of an apartment. So all these assets were then taken in by the estate, and she was given such a hard time, like, this is Freddie's flat. Like, meanwhile, no, I live here.
Mm.
It's also my flat. And her life became a hell after that. She loved the guy. They had a special relationship, and she was also thrown out on the curb.
Mm.
Jeez.
This guy's story needs to be a movie, not this biopic, which Brian May is going to rub a stamp and... He'll probably be being played by, like, I don't know, Kenny G with Botox or something.
So that's why you're saying that it's going to be
so that is why
horrible.
I've got into the story. So good on you, Zayn Malik.
Rami Malik.
Sidebar, wouldn't actually...
But this thing's got to be crap.
Sacha Baron Cohen make a good Freddie Mercury?
That's exactly what he thought. That was his vision. And that's why he wanted to have a movie where he was snorting cocaine off the top of small people's heads and stuff like that.
Yes.
And everybody would have seen that. That would have been one of the biggest hits. It really would have been.
Really, they'd be doing injustice to the story by not including things like that. Because we'd feel like, dude, there's a whole elephant in the room that you aren't discussing.
So is Sacha Baron Cohen, is he still behind this project? Or did he hand it over to somebody else? This is still his body of work.
Look, from what I gather from that Howard Stern interview, which it's not exactly recent now, but he was very much part of this project. He wanted, because the thing about Sacha Baron Cohen is that he produces the movies, he puts them together. He's not just the guy who acts.
Mm-hmm.
He's like very hands-on with his projects, and he thought this was going to be like his amazing project. This was going to be like the Ben-Hur of his life. And no, Brian May had other ideas.
Yeah, Brian May, shame. He wanted the attention to... It probably bothered him that Freddie got all the attention.
Yeah.
Why else would he insist that, you know, the movie carry on after Freddie's death? Because he wants to prove so badly that, you know, even without Freddie, they...
But, like, the story of Queen ends with Freddie Mercury dying.
Not according to Brian May.
Brian May, really. He actually believed that the rest of the movie was going to be like, people were going to be sitting and going... Oh, that's a sad plot twist, but hey, looks like the band's going to go from strength to strength.
I think there's
they had Adam Lambert singing the other day as part of the band.
Yeah.
Bullshit, strength to strength.
I say Sacha Baron Cohen should just continue and just call the movie like Freddy. Huh? Technically, you aren't saying it's Freddie Mercury.
Well,
just so happens.
I would love to know what the legal ramifications are around that. Because, it would be, it, like I said, this is a great story.
Yeah.
It needs to be a movie.
But it's just like, you know, Elizabeth Taylor used to only go to interviews where the interviewer was not going to ask her about her ex-husband. And I'm like, dude, what else do you talk to Liz Taylor about when she's been married 2,000 times?
Her life was basically waking up and having an ex-husband.
So it annoys me that, like, these big stars...
That's like getting Nas Porter in here not talking about rugby.
Okay. Thank you. I got the analogy. I thought it was going to be harder to crack.
So from one story to another, you know, ever like Donald Trump, he definitely opened Pandora's box here about running for U.S. president mm-hmm. and, of course, becoming U.S. president. Now, there's been talk about the fact that, you know, The Rock wants to be the next president. Mm-hmm. He might run.
Kanye West.
Kanye West. I mean, sure, throw your name in there. But mm-hmm. Kid Rock.
No, please don't. No. Don't do it.
Yeah.
Well, what's going on in the world today?
This is him giving a kind of a presidential rally.
Oh.
I shit you not. Thanks for the video, Will.
It seems the government wants to give everyone health insurance but wants us all to pay. And to be very frank, I really don't have a problem with that. Since God has blessed me and made my pockets fat. But a redistribution of wealth seems more like their plan. And I don't believe that you should save, sacrifice, do things by the book, and then have to take care of some deadbeat milk in the system, lazy ass motherfucking man.
So far, I'm kind of in on this. So far, I've heard worse.
Now, the issue of struggling single parents is an issue close to my heart. But read my lips. We should not reward these women who can't even take care of themselves but keep having kid after fucking kid.
Look, I'm warming to him already.
I'm sorry.
Of course we should help them out. I want to sit here and sound like a jerk. But let's help them out with child care, job training, and put their goddamn asses to work. And you deadbeat dads who refuse to be a man, who refuse to raise your sons up to be good men, you ghetto glorifiers and gangster wannabes, I say lock all you assholes up and throw away the fucking keys. And if you want to take a knee...
I think he's only getting going now.
Oh, Lord.
Or sit during our Star Spangled Banner. Call me a racist because I'm not PC and think you have to remind me that Black Lives Matter. Nazis fucking bigots. And now again the KKK says, screw all you assholes, stay the fuck away. It's no secret we're divided and we all should take some blame. We should be ashamed that we all seem scared to call him by his name.
It's not becoming
so please,
a production.
Almighty Jesus, if you're looking down tonight, please guide us with your wisdom and give us strength to fight. To fight the tyrant evils that lurk here and abroad. And remind us all, we are still just one nation under God.
Woo! Why am I catching the spirit here?
Now let's get down to brass tacks before I hit you with this funk.
Okay, Kid Rock. Okay.
Hillary Clinton lost, and your president is Donald motherfucking Trump. And Kid Rock, the Senate, has got folks in disarray. When they hear Kid Rock, the president of the USA. Wouldn't it be a sight to see President Kid Rock in Washington, D.C. standing on the Oval Office like a G, holding my dick ready to address the whole country? All of the nation dead in the eyes, live on TV, and simply tell me, you never met a motherfucker quite like
hey. say, oh, sorry.
Yeah, so that's it, basically. That's
I am all over it. I am for it.
I mean, if you're giving speeches with a drum kit in the background to emphasize the points, I reckon you can only go right to the top.
I reckon people in the crowd would actually be listening to you if that's how you gave a speech.
You know, I did not think I was here for this party, but then he started to rhyme. You know I'm a sucker for a good musical production.
There was like five pelvic thrusts in that dress.
Oh, yes, please.
They thought Kid Rock was just good for marrying Pamela Anderson over and over again.
Yeah, I also thought that was his thing. That and like having bribes for Marine veterans and stuff like that.
Look at this.
So you think like, oh, this is such a big joke. But, I mean, politics, they're all dickheads anyway.
Yeah, they all are.
How much worse can you get in politics? Kid Rock pelvic thrusting, fireworks in the background.
Don't jinx it that way.
I mean, call me argumentative, but I mean, I don't think this is way worse.
Can't you see Kid Rock in Washington, D.C.? I'm here for this. But you know, Kid Rock actually went to the White House back in April. Do you remember that? There was like this weird photo op, and when I saw the picture, I was like, this is the weirdest group of people all in one picture, because it was Sarah Palin, who was invited by the president, and
sorry, how long has Trump been president again? Since March?
Since the beginning of, he was inaugurated when? Late last, no, Feb.
Okay, all right, that's fine.
Anyway, yeah,
before winter.
Yeah, but April, Trump was president, and he invites Sarah Palin. Sarah Palin then invited Kid Rock as a guest, and they went into the Oval Office, and there was this whole New York Times article about like what exactly happened. They nearly took a picture in front of a Hillary Clinton portrait, and with their middle fingers up. So this is getting weird and weird and weird. But hey, if Kid Rock goes into the Oval Office, we might just have like an impromptu stage and, you know, spotlight in there as well. We don't know now.
Well, there'll definitely be strippers.
Sure.
There'll be the Oval Pole as well.
Yeah, in the White House there will be the Oval Pole.
A whole beer fridge as well, which is, will just be a prerequisite for any meeting for him. But yeah, so bizarre.
Yeah. Well, guys, that is it is bizarre. But is there anything else that's happening that's maybe not so bizarre, yet interestingly funny?
Let's see here.
Well, guys, I stumbled upon this list. This is more on the bizarre, but I find it fascinating. So I'm a sucker for a good crime investigation channel binge. Mm. If I could sit back to back with like three of these specials about like people who kill or what exactly happens. I know this is slightly morbid, but I found this list of a few famous murders which were committed by kids.
So when we say kids, we're
obviously... Told you couldn't trust them.
We're obviously talking about people who are not 18 yet. Is that
no? These are like proper, proper kids. Okay. Who have gone on to commit the weirdest, weirdest things. So we're only just going to look over a few, because like I think we'd all need therapy if we looked over all 17. But this is on BuzzFeed.com, and so the first story is of these 10-year-olds, John and Robert, who lured a 2-year-old boy away from his mom in an England shopping mall back in 1993.
Oh, I remember this.
This is freaky. This is hectic. They led the little 2-year-old to a nearby train track. There, they then mutilated the boy so badly that his autopsy couldn't reveal his actual cause of death.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
10-year-olds?
How horrible are the parents of these kids? They thought this is okay.
Yeah, if you have a horrible child, you've got to blame the parent that gave birth to that thing.
I would now side-eye my kid if I was the parent. Here's another story. These are sisters, Sandra and Beth. At the time of the murder, they were 16 and 15 years old. And they were given the names as... they were named Bathtub Girls because they killed their own parent back in 2003. So their mom was around at home. They got her drunk. Then they took her to the bathtub and basically drowned their own mother.
How old are these demons?
They were 16 and 15 years old at the time of murder. So that was back in 2003. How on God's good globe does such happen?
Yeah, there are a lot of horrible, horrible people in the world.
This is freaky. Okay, last one before we like all go to therapy. Yeah, a 15-year-old boy also killed his own mother back in 2011. He beat her with a hammer in their home in England, and then he set her body on fire. So apparently,
England kind of place.
This is freak. So apparently, this boy, his name is Daniel, was such a huge horror movie fan, which police believed is what led him to led him to kill his own mother. But look at this, kids killing their own parents and kids like committing murders at this young age.
It's very disturbing. What is it that they say about how a lot of serial killers first started out by killing and torturing animals, and then they graduate to humans? But and a lot of the torturing and the killing of the animals starts when they're still children.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
shucks. So if you're like me and you kind of enjoy some of these things, not in a sadistic way, but the full list is available on BuzzFeed.com. Yikes.
Horrifying.
We'll put a link to it as well later.
Jared agrees with us about Brian May. I mentioned that Adam Lambert was singing with a band recently.
Mm-hmm. They did like a few concert dates.
Bullshit. Anyway, Jared says, now they have Queen featuring Adam Lambert as their show titles. They are so engrossed in their own crap, they'll always be a separate entity to anyone else and robbing us of things we need to see.
Do you think it's crap or it's a money issue?
It's a control issue.
Like, if they're still doing performances, they're still riding this wave.
Yeah, but look, these guys have got more than enough money forever, right?
Mm.
That's the thing. When you get into supergroup status, the royalties are just huge. I'm sure we pay Brian May somehow. I hate the fact we do, but I'm pretty sure we keep him in his perm. When they want to just keep going touring, it's just better than sitting at home playing a crossword, I guess.
Yeah, and I doubt you think that way, though. When there's a prospect of earning, I don't know, an extra $5 million for doing, two more concerts, you'd still want that instead of saying, okay, cool, let me just sit down, that's it, I'm done.
But also, I mean, Freddie Mercury died when? 1991?
A long time ago, yeah.
So, I mean, these guys had to carry on, because otherwise that would have been the end of their careers.
Are you saying the show must go on?
Yeah.
Really?
Well, it's a Queen reference. So it's Thursday. That means that Alan Ford and the Unview is next. That's about half an hour away if you listen to us live. But Gareth will be back with us tomorrow. No, Alan, settle down. It's not me. You must come in here.
He's already up.
I just mentioned out of his
chair. He's walking up to the microphone.
Did you, like, right on cue. I admire that, Alan Richard Ford.
I mean, he's like a dog and you say car by mistake and it reckons it's going for a walk.
Screw it, now he's even coming.
Coming in.
Straight here.
You poke the bear.
Yeah.
On Thursdays, we should never even bring up the name. But okay. Hello, Alan.
How rude.
Oh, here we go.
Hello, boys and girls.
Hello.
Alan, hi.
Am I there?
No, you're not there. He's strategically not turning your microphone on.
No, don't bang on the microphone. No.
Stop messing up our equipment, Alan.
There.
Yeah.
Hello, good morning. How are we?
And a lovely shirt.
It's a bit of colour.
You're beaming.
This is the new shade of pink.
Pink is nice. The show must go on, as you know. Very interesting conversation. But
what did you think about my views around the Queen story, Alan?
Do you know, I have watched quite a lot of documentaries about Freddie Mercury, and I actually know a friend of his in London.
Of course you do.
But the interesting thing, obviously he's quite an elderly gentleman now, but I mean, life is very interesting. You must understand, when he was diagnosed with HIV, the band stood by him. They kept it secret. He carried on playing. And he literally, until the very end, had these guys around him supporting him. So, but they were an institution. And if you look at Roger Taylor and Brian May, they have kept that legacy of Queen alive, because they were a part of Queen. They were Queen. Mm-hmm. With Freddie, obviously. He was just the front man. So at one point in time, when they came to South Africa, I don't know if you know this, and did 4664, the second show at that golf course in George.
Yeah, Fancourt.
Fancourt. They had another front man as the head of Queen.
All right.
Yeah. He was from a group called, not Human League, it was something like that. So they've kept it alive. I mean, they've kept it going.
Yeah, of course. I mean, and they're entitled to.
And Brian May wrote a lot of it.
It's so, just that, yeah, of course, and he was integral to so much of it. But my point is that it's not a story to be ashamed of, anything that Freddie got up to. That was him.
No, but the documentary speak about it. Freddie was so sexually free that he didn't stop. Don't stop me now, literally. I'm having such a good time.
I want to break
I'm
free.
Having a...
I'm like a sex machine ready
to
explode.
He was a sex machine.
Yeah.
Okay, and you watched it. He used to go to the clubs. He used to bring 3-4 boys home.
Apparently he had like strength of a gorilla as well.
What? So let me tell you a strange story. A very, very good friend of mine. I can't mention his name.
Sounds like.
Was going out.
How many syllables?
Was going out with this girl some 15 years ago. And her dad came out the closet to her mom. In a Portuguese girl.
Mm-hmm.
And he had HIV.
Mm-hmm.
But he had had a number of affairs with Freddie Mercury. The first experience was in Sun City when Queen came out here.
Mm-hmm.
That's how he got it. That's how he contracted HIV. And then he used to go visit Freddie in Germany when he was performing there. And they had this affair. And he was a South African man married. I knew his daughter. And yeah, very interesting. And
Alan, are you saying HIV? This man got HIV from Freddie Mercury?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and
that is a hell of a story.
I think that's
Alan.
A book title waiting to happen.
Dead serious. And one day I'll tell you off the record who the person that was dating her, and I knew her. She told me the story. We sat in Zimbabwe, and she was telling me how her dad got it, and they remained lovers for that year. That he was, I don't know what month he came to South Africa to Sun City, but yeah. Interesting.
Do we know her, the daughter?
You don't know her, but you know, the boyfriend. But that's how he got it. He got HIV from Freddie because he'd had sex a couple of times with men before, but he was married to a woman. That's how he had a daughter.
The whole thing about the whole HIV, I'm sorry if you're not a Queen fan or find this interesting, but we are putting a lot of time into this today. Gareth's not here. We'll do what we want. But the whole thing about HIV back then is that nobody really knew anything about it.
No, they were scared of it.
It was very like, you don't mention it. It's you can only get it if you're gay. There was all these strange misconceptions around it.
It was the gay cancer.
But plus, there was like this party scene that was erupting, and nobody could actually really keep tabs on it. There was a lot of free love going around, and that's where it all started.
Well, that's where it started. That's how it was. It was retransmitted. Was the fact that that if you think about it, all of a sudden there were these parties again. These parties, these debauched sex.
Queen were famous for them. Like the Queen was party. It was the biggest party out there. Because you knew there would just be naked women running around. There was drugs everywhere, and that was the thing.
I didn't follow that part of it. I followed Freddie, but Freddie basically had sex with everybody. He loved, yeah.
So if you had a heartbeat and two legs?
Correct.
Three legs.
If you watch the documentary, it's on YouTube, by the way. It's very interesting, actually. It's a phenomenal documentary. How at the end how he did die and how his partner was with him at the very end.
Yeah.
And very, very interesting life. But the thing is, it was deny. Until he was literally bedridden, and then he came out with the story and died very shortly afterwards.
So there's actually some performances on YouTube you can see. Literally, he performed right to the end. He was still making music videos with the band, but he was like a shadow of his former self.
Yeah.
So much so that they would shoot the scenes in relatively short takes because sometimes he had to literally just have a sit down.
Yeah, 100% correct. And of course, we had songs. Too Much Love Will Kill You, that was released after he died, and Who Wants to Live Forever. So yeah, it's Freddie Mercury is a legend. Their music was legendary, but remember, at that stage, gay people were rejected by society. You were already part of the devil's spawn in some respect.
Yeah.
You know, in that period of time. So who cared if you had no morals and ethics and you slept with 15 people on a Saturday night?
Mm-hmm.
Which is exactly, that was the mentality. So there's a spiritual thing here, which is very interesting. Dr. Louise L. Hay, who writes a number of books called You Can Heal Yourself, says that if you look at two populaces, black Africans in particular, mm-hmm. when you look at the 80s and 90s, and gay people. A lot of it is because of their self-worth. And because they weren't worthy, they didn't believe their lives were worth anything, and therefore they didn't care what they did sexually with their lives. And that's how they've equated the metaphysical reasons for HIV to some extent. Which is so interesting, because you're right, if nobody likes you, you don't care, put yourself on a sling, bend over and let 20 people screw you. Mm. You know, what difference does it make? What difference does it make if I go leave my wife to go off to the mines and I sleep with 10 women? Because where it hit the gay populace and it hit third world countries that were really, really, they weren't worth much. You know what I mean? And it's hell of interesting. You know?
Alan, I think this is the most serious you've ever been with us.
Wow.
Hard Joe hitting, must go on.
No, hard-hitting talk with Alan Ford.
Interesting things, hey?
Anyway, we have a lovely show lined up. We'd like to hear about it.
Alan, we'd like nothing more.
I tell you something, I am so excited about today's show because it is just jam-packed with legends, entertainers, and lots of fun. It really is. Abdullah Ibrahim.
Yay!
Jazz legend is on the line from Germany.
Oh!
Okay, so we're going to chat to him about his Artscape concert and the joy of jazz. So that's going to be really, really cool.
Guten Tag to him.
Then we're going to chat about Hedwig that is now moving around the country. It left Gate 69, Cathay-specific show that did phenomenally well at the Lady Awards. We'll talk to them. We've got Craig Jackson and Daniel Yanks. Play That Goes Wrong opens at Monte Cassino. They're coming into studio. We've got Nathaniel on the line. We love it. Nathaniel's show is called 30 Years, 90 Minutes at Emperor's. So we've got him. We've got Garth Taylor, singer-songwriter, coming into studio. Mm-hmm. And we end with Harry Sideropoulos, who's doing the Psychathon this weekend for charity. That is a packed lineup.
Yes, it is.
That is a cool bunch of people.
Very, very awesome.
Indeed. Yes. This is not chicks, but hey.
I'm sure you don't mind that.
Anyway, so where is Gareth?
He's pulling an Alan Ford by, you know, and giving us kisses from coast to coast.
Coast to coast, baby.
Alan, I think the official word was that he was attending an art gallery launch.
In Cape Town.
Okay, Cape Town's the best.
You can take us up with him in your own time.
Okay. Guys, I've got to tell you, it's a very interesting discussion about Freddie Mercury. But you know who we should get on the show? Is a guy called Sean Brokenshaw.
Mm-hmm.
And Sean is the muso that has done... So, for example, he is the most... We've got to get in with you guys, you know, when you do this, because this is fascinating. People, right. Remember, poetry or books or songs often come from, most of the time, from people's life experiences.
Sadness a lot of the time.
Yeah. Or LSD if you're high and you don't know what you're actually writing, Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds, but you know that type of thing. But, for example, did you know, what was Billie Jean, written by Michael Jackson, about?
About a woman who was trying to say that he had a kid with her, but not really, and maybe a tennis player.
And then decades later, there was actually a young man who came forward and said that he was Michael Jackson's child.
But it's not. There was a woman that jumped over his fence that tried to, it was a stalker that got arrested. His name was Billie Jean. And that's why I wrote, that's not my lover. She's just the girl that thinks that I'm the one. She was a stalker.
But the kid is not my son.
No. Look at it. It's so fascinating. Sean will tell you the story. Since he went through the history of all these songs. There was no song in 1980, I think 81 or 82, when he wrote that song, or 79, I don't know the year. I'm not a muso in terms of like historical music person. But very interesting. You know that song, who likes pina coladas?
Mm. Yeah, it's definitely got to do with someone leaving, getting left at the altar.
No. Close. He wrote the song because him and his wife were getting divorced and they're very estranged and they went to see a therapist. And the therapist said to them, we recommend that you go, that you meet at a pub or at a bar and you be incognito and you start yourself again. Meet again, like it's a fresh start. This is what the therapist suggested. And they did and they met at this, and hi, I'm X and I'm Y, and they sat down at the table. And as the waitress came, he ordered a glass. He said, it was in the south of France. And he said, coupe de champagne, can he have a glass of champagne? And she said, no, I'd like a pina colada. And he had, for over the 20 years of marriage, didn't know that her favorite drink was pina colada and not champagne. Mm. And that's why he wrote the song.
Okay.
Like pina colada?
Did they still get divorced, though?
No, they didn't. Fascinating story.
That's sweet.
Sean Brokenshaw, we've got to get him in studio. Guys, anyway, this has been fun.
Okay.
Don't miss the Unview, a great show today. Of course, Nathan Rose with me, and it was his birthday yesterday.
Hey.
Oh.
Well, we'll get Theo to give him, like, a birthday rub down.
He
does.
Does that mean he's brought cake today?
Every now and again for special people.
Do you do rub downs?
Yeah.
Okay, Alan, thanks for joining us.
I'm in February.
Alan, it's been great. Ellen, that's enough.
Hey, I'm involved.
Ellen, that's enough.
Ellen is Ellen, too get close off for him. Comfort now.
Get off Sia. It's a third of your weight. So, guys, Sia wanted to play a game today, but unfortunately my computer has other ideas. See, I'm editing some videos at the moment, and I now realize I now have to spend whatever money I have left.
Overwhelmed.
What is your drone situation?
Perfect.
It works.
It's lovely.
Okay.
But now whatever money I had left after paying for that, I need to buy a bigger computer. It's never ending. I think I'm going to be 57 and I'll finally have disposable income to go and live a good life.
Because
I'm going to keep investing in this process of being better or whatever I want to do.
Yeah, that's life for you, hey?
Well, we can wrap things up by looking at another legend who has passed. It's a bit of a Prince update before the show wraps up. So, you know, the whole entire Prince estate has been wrapped up in so much simply because Prince died with no will.
And then Taika Nelson got in there and she wanted to claim everything for herself.
Her body and their mother is getting into this, literally. So now, most recently, like, look at how random this is. Two descendants of a former security chief who worked at Prince's house are now coming and saying, listen, our dad worked at Prince's house for so many years. We called Prince our second father. So now this is why we deserve
a piece of the puzzle.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody wants a piece.
Yes, gimme.
Maybe we can sort of now just claim that we also deserve a piece of the Prince pie. You know what I mean? He has no will, so that's it.
Well, I mean, think of you, as a fan, you could say, just think about how much money I spent on his music.
It was an investment.
Surely I deserve a cut of the estate.
In this, exactly. So, yeah, that's currently is being ruled out by a panel, and the court will decide whether this is actually warranted or not. But right now, these two descendants are trying to cash in on the Prince pie. Man, give it 2.3 seconds, and then we'll also be discussing a Prince movie in some case.
Well, Brian May might want to executive produce this and make it all about the music.
Taika Nelson will produce it.
Taika Nelson will actually play the part of her brother. she'll do Martin Lawrence to play the part of everyone in the movie.
Oh,
that's a name I hadn't heard in a while. Anyway, right. Yeah. Yes.
So, yeah, I think that's it for today.
Yeah.
Amanda, what do you think?
Ben, I think that's it.
Why does she sound so exasperated?
Amanda, you've bottom line does to death there.
Well, yeah, well, it is a Thursday, and so as Alan just rightfully said as he crashed in the studio, the Unview is up next at 9 a.m. and then a certain Ben Karpinski will be hosting the Bounce Show at 10 a.m.
We're talking development cricket today, Ikasi Challenge. I've got proper guests coming through. It's going to be an amazing show.
Have your guests been improper before?
No, like sometimes I don't have guests, but today they're like
proper guests,
proper sports in depth conversation show.
There we go. 11 a.m., the weekly mashup. 12 p.m., Unplugged and In Charge. 1 p.m., Shubi and Gareth with future CEOs. 2 p.m., The Fashion Lab. 3 p.m., if you missed this and you just want an extra dose, it's a replay of the Gareth Cliff Show. And 6 p.m., as Ben said earlier, it's a new edition of Freedom Versus.
And I can personally say that today's Gareth Cliff Show was a very good show, so if you want to listen to it again, go ahead.
Listen to the replay at 3 p.m. and re-download the podcast.
So between now and 3 p.m., you can tell your friends to listen to it at 3 p.m. or just get the podcast. Apologies for a slight delay in the podcast going up this morning. We've had a slight issue with our service provider. It's not us. It's not because we're doing nothing. Or you can just blame Gareth. Suits you. No. Thanks for joining us today. CliffCentral.com.
Don't blame him.
Yeah, okay. It's been great having you today. We're going to play out with some LL Cool J.
Yay!
Oh! Hey. Ladies love Cool James. Hey!
That's it. This is what Alan Ford wakes up to every morning. He looks in his mirror, slaps himself on the cheeks.
Which one?
Then his face. And then he mouths it while thinking about his show. What's up next? Baby girl was straight than Chanel. Says she loved Tupac but hates some LL. Seen her at the bar with anklets and toe rings. She could take a Prince tournament. This is CliffCentral.com.